Rick Moore and Jacob Maturo. Part of the job already accepted by Physical Review D and will be published soon. And the first, let me tell you why is Birkhoff's law. We have four, based on my understanding, there are at least four kinds of different means of Birkhoff's law. The first one is from classical physics point of view. They treat Birkhoff's law as Gauss' law. Let's say if we review the Gauss' law in magnetic, electromagnetic, then you will find if you have a spherical symmetry and a people outside this charge distribution region, he will treat the charge distribution as a single charge. And the second one, if the spherical symmetry is only a shell, then people inside this region will find there is no charge at all, so no effect. That goes to second point of view of Birkhoff's law. That's the gravity force inside a spherical shell is zero. The others, you see the, you know the, if you know the potential shell, potential boundary potential and the mass distribution, then you know the solution of electro field is unique. So that goes to the single solution. Let's say if you have these four points of view in this relative, but they are not equal. Later I'll show you. The third point of view comes from the general relativity that tell you geometry in spherical symmetry space is a piece of the Schwarzschild solution. That also tell you the second point of view directly. Yes, that's for vacuum, the vacuum solution. And the third, fourth point of view comes from the modified gravity. We hope that there is a single solution so that you can measure everything. And so the first one and third and fourth point, it comes from different kinds of model. First one is from classical physics, the Newtonian gravity. This one comes from general relativity, and this is modified gravity theory. This, the second point of view is their application. And in this talk, I say Birkhoff's law, I more like to check this point of view. Since here they see what's the application of the Birkhoff's law. We first review the Gauss' law in classical physics. You know, in Gauss' law, if you have a mass particle around here, then you could always make up a sphere, closed surface, and then you measure the gravity on the surface. Then you could take the mass inside the surface by this formula. Then you get the gravity or the mass. This can give you the second point of view directly, that is the gravity inside the fourth spherical shell is zero. That's you put in here, if there is no mass, then you directly get the gravity equal to zero. And this equation also tell you could reveal the mass on here by measure the gravity. And this point of view, it comes from classical Gauss' law, but it's equally true if you have single solution for a particular mass distribution. So if you have a theory that's single, you have single solution, then you could deal the mass distribution by their gravitational force. At first, this equation looks very useful to build the density distribution, but consider about really measurement. Is considered like galaxy scale, then it's very hard to imagine you could build a closed surface and measure all the gravity on the surface. So it's undoable. Therefore, this point of view going to the topic. The first one, we believe the universe is isotropic and homogeneous. So as far distant, you will see treat it as spherical symmetry. And the point of view of this one, the second one, tell you the force inside a spherical shell is zero. So now you don't need to consider about it at all. So as you use Boyle's law, you get local gravitational force can be determined by the local matters. So now you can ignore all the other effects. Therefore, now we really want to check, is that really true? Really no gravitational inside a spherical shell. The first one, we check Newtonian gravity. That's definitely true because Newton spent several years to develop calculus. And they always tell you that's true. And yet, finally, Hooke, who made up this idea of 1 over r squared gravity. So I believe in this theory, that must be true. So now let's check general relativity. It's generally true because you know you have Schwarzschild solution. And Schwarzschild solution tell you the gravity inside a spherical shell is zero. So it's definitely true if that's a pure spherical shell. But remember, as we apply this rule, we try to say a particle or a galaxy inside a spherical shell. This galaxy didn't get any international acceleration from this shell. So the real space is like this, not like this. And Schwarzschild solution is not useful for this kind of space. So we here try to use post-Newtonian gravity. And if you review the post-Newtonian gravity to second order, you find the equation like this. Here I ignore the velocity term. And we could check. The first one is the Newtonian gravity. This is its correcting term. And if that's the spherical shell, this term definitely true, that's zero. But this term is not. And this term is not. So as you do it carefully, you find the acceleration inside the shell for this test pointer. Indeed, it's proportional to its mass. Therefore, indeed, because let's say if you put in a particle inside a spherical shell, you find the gravity indeed is not zero. So Boyle's is not really hold in general relativity. But since the acceleration proportional mk is always safe if mk is very, very small. Now let's see the first problem appear. It's true if you really consider the pure spherical shell, then this true, there's no gravity inside this one. But if you put in a particle inside, this particle will get back radiation from the geometry. They are different. And really,
yes.
You
give it the finite mass?
Yes, you have to get your finite mass so that this particle will get the attraction force from this shell. This two is a little different. And it's for really application. We cannot imagine a pure shell and without anything inside to measure the gravity.
I don't see by symmetry argument how there could be any force. If the theory is local, I can't think of an example of a theory that would do that.
If you symmetry modify between accelerations, say by your power potential, when you do the integration, you don't know if it causes at all. Those surface and as you shut things down.
If it's a massive scalar, then you say there's a force inside the shell.
Yeah, if you have this modified gravity theory, it has a vector massive vector theory.
I see what you mean. You say the range, if the force has finite range, then if I'm away from the center, then the sort of attraction to the far side of the wall is less than the attraction to the close side.
The whole universe is matter influences part of inside the shell. It has to apply integration.
Yes, interesting.
Yeah, I think that's true. And equally, indeed, if you don't have physical symmetry in GR, then you don't have physical shear in GR. Because, you know, any definition of physical shear is any point to the center is the same for the point on the shear. But now in GR, if you bring a particle here, you know, this particle creates the matrix around here like like this, then the distance from here to image center and here to image center is not the same. This is generally true for matrix theory. So indeed, you cannot create a spherical shell in a non-spherical space.
Let me just make one more comment. If you take Einstein gravity,
yes,
the scalar field.
Mm-hmm.
If you literally couple the scalar field, then you get a chi linear for the scalar field on the right hand side.
Yes.
And you can immediately show a static spheric and symmetric solution.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the posterior. It's a simple proof. So already in this case, you have a local theory.
Mm-hmm.
It's a minimal extension of GR. GR is incredibly unique. Probably not correct.
No, you're right. So I was really naive. The Yukawa example is really cool. I didn't think of that. But still, if you add Brandt's Dickey doesn't satisfy Birkhoff's. Yeah. But still, the force inside a shell would be zero. Because it's, so I think the key is that as long as you have masses field that are local, then I think it's always true.
But when you do.
Outside the shell, it's not Schwarzschild. That I agree with. It's not Birkhoff in the sense that there is a unique solution. But inside the shell, I think it's. Anyway.
Yes, I can show it to you.
So, okay. The first problem come out in the application of Birkhoff's law is that as you measure the rotation curve speed on the gas, you find at the beginning that the velocity starts increase. That satisfies Newtonian gravity. And then later, it becomes a constant velocity at far distance. But now, in Newtonian gravity, you will say the velocity should be decayed at 1 over r half. So there have a big discrepancy in large scale, on large scale. There's one way to fix this problem that called there's something we don't know, and it's not shining at all on this scale. Then it will. Question? No. So this will fix this curve. Since you have something there, so the process should be a little quicker. But since today, we haven't have a direct evidence to show that they really have dark matter in this region or in the lab. So there is some alternative method solution come out. The first successful solution comes from modified Milgram in 1983 that called modified Newtonian dynamica, and we now call MOND today. MOND has several versions. The first point of view is they try to modify Newtonian gravity. They say Newtonian gravity shall be MA at the large scale. But now, since it failed in very large scale, so you should put in a correcting function here. That one is depends on the size of your acceleration divided by some constant. The constant from experiment called that it's 1.2 times 10 to minus 10 meter per second squared. So this at first seems fine. Everything is fine at all, but you have several problems. The first one, if you had a particle here, then this particle here, you could see it move in this direction. There's no problem at all. But now if you are two here, then this equation here didn't show you how this particle could move to which direction. So this theory only works for a single point. The second one, if you don't care anything, then I just made up a force that follows this law. You will find if you make a closed circle surface. If you just use make up a closed passes, then you find if the solution give you is not path independent. So if you run a circle, you get some energy from this equation. So you could get infinite energy by running several paths. This definitely is not a good solution at all. So Milligrand later changed it to modify Gauss law. Modify Gauss law would replace the acceleration by this part, gradient phi. This will fix this problem. And it also gives you the direction of two particles. So it fits the problem come out from here. And here mu s is choose to be one as s much, much, much larger than one and s that's much, much smaller than one.
But since that scale, why is that?
That number is from the fitting of the rotation curve. You want to get a good rotation curve, then you could fit the equation. Right.
Is that a
low bound? No, it's not a low bound. It's inside here. Yes, that's the best friend. I didn't show here. Can I send you the data later? Because I'm not quite sure.
That, I mean, just the ballpark, that like 1%, 10%, 0.1%.
Yeah, I think the 10%. Yes, I think that 10% because sometimes they use 1.0 times 10 minus 10. So that's about 10%, that's right.
Sure. Yes,
that's
even faster.
Yes, that's, I think
even though you change A naught by considerable amount, you still can't fit the plastic mass from model engine.
Yes, that's true.
Okay,
but I now focus on the galaxy scale. Okay, in galaxy scale, you from that two equation you get as I mean the strong gravity regime, you get this one. The gradient phi will roughly equal to m r minus two. That's Newtonian gravity. And then at far larger distance, the gravity become weaker. You got the size of theta gradient phi proportional to square root n divided by r minus 1. That will, this one will give you the fixed velocity at large distance. So it could answer the rotation curve. Here it becomes a constant. And here it fits Newtonian gravity. However, this one is not a really function. So you have a lot of choice of this function, and then you just try to figure out which function is better and which one is not good. They generally use this one and this one. They generally choose mu equal to this one or mu equal to this one. I guess this one have a better fit in galaxy scale. What? Yeah, that's infinite, but you only choose the...
So you have to show that the choice of you is not sensitive to the data.
Yeah, but they say this one is better, a little better than this one.
They both give you the same Newtonian?
Yes, they both give you potential in this region and this region, but here they get a little different.
So can I make a trivial point? So your story about the inside shell, I think the thing, so it, whether there's a force inside the shell or not, for sure there's never a force in life because motion has divergence of whatever vector you have, whatever that complicated vector is as a function of two graviton.
Yes, they all.
That, that there's no force inside.
Yes, yes. Because the solution for this equation is
one over R.
Yes.
As soon as you plus our equation for Newtonian gravity is linear. Molly is non-linear, it's a protracted. So you can never expect that. So
no, you do, because it doesn't matter that it's non-linear. The statement is, you can write it as divergence of a vector, like that, right? This vector being mu times grad phi, right? It's mu, complicated mu. As long as you can do that, then you know the solution for the vector will go as 1 over r.
Yes, that's true.
Or 1 over r squared. And then if you know it's 1 over r squared, and inside the shell, if you then impose that there's no singularity at the origin, then the only solution is trivial.
No, but they still have the gradient of phi inside.
Yes,
but that's just a vector.
You have to solve for the mass.
That's
not it. You solve for it.
Minus 4 pi gm.
So but if there is no mass inside, then that must be 0, right?
Both you say is true, but he focused on physical shell solution. So the solution is trivial. It's very easy to get. But if it's not a spherical symmetry solution, then you have to consider all the terms. You cannot get the trivial solution like what he do. But spherical symmetry is a special case that really could do by what he said in that one. That's really a special case. And that's true to get that gravity acceleration inside a spherical shell is there. But I always say that in GR, we really want to check it's not pure spherical distance distribution. I already know that's true. But really we want to check it's a spherical shell and a point inside. And to easy to check this point, we could first use a heavy particle and a lighter shell to check if that's true. Then you know that this test particle in the center. In Newtonian gravity, you will do it like this. You first fill a shell, and then you get capture the force this side. And you find the force in the other side. Then you know if the area in here increases by r squared, so force in the other side should decrease by r squared, then they get equally size of a force, then it cancel out each other. But here, I assume the radius of the shell is very, very, very big, so that it goes to m r minus 1. Then the force will decay like 1 over r. It will always a little bigger than the force decayed by r squared. So I get the force a little bigger than the force, it should cancel out the size. So the shear will always get a force in this direction, move to the shear. And equally to say, this pointer will move inside.
Yes, but if you have a nonlinear theory of gravity, then you don't have a superposition.
Yeah, it's all that.
So, okay, so then.
Not linear.
Yes.
So you don't have a so this argument says that there is a force inside.
Yes.
But that previous case said that there is no force inside, and there isn't. I think this argument is incorrect because you're adding up the forces of individual elements.
That's not correct for in the middle case, but this is a very particular case. That's a very tiny particle and a very tiny shell. So it's still correct in this case.
Well, it means you can neglect the nonlinearities because the shell is light.
Yes, yes. So the contribution almost all comes from this particle. This shell didn't have much contribution, so it didn't change the region. Did you accept that?
Well, I should think about it. I don't know.
No, you just said that you can prove this rigorously.
Prove that?
Prove that if you have a nonlinear Poisson equation, you're going to run into trouble because you don't get exactly equal parts of both sides of the shell in most cases.
Yeah, but the argument...
Except in a very trivial case.
No, but the argument he's saying here is that while that's true, if the nonlinearities are proportional, I guess, to the mass of the shell elements.
Yeah.
So in the limit the shell is light, the nonlinearities can be neglected, and then you are able to add them up. Is that correct?
Yes.
Generally, you can't neglect the nonlinearities.
Well, but you can if the silly thing is light.
Yes.
Right? That's the point.
Yes. That's the only special case I could do it analytically.
The other case I am not able to do. And that's what we are doing right now by numerical calculation. That's for case two. If the particle is lighter and the shell is bigger, heavier, then I calculate it by numerical calculation. Our result shows that A is not proportional to F, but it's still non-zero inside the sphere. And it's still in progress. I cannot show you the real result here, but our result shows it's non-zero. The second one is, you see the acceleration is proportional m square root. It's not proportional to m. So the Newtonian, in general, as you do those kinds of problems, they will try to do it perturbatically. But if they always choose some function like, they will separate several order m over r, and then plus b m over r square and so on. But this tells you this kind of separation of perturbation theory is not good in this kind of model.
If you fit a galaxy data, you need a proportion to root n to get what's called the Tully Fisher law.
Yes.
Tully Fisher law says that the fourth power, the rotational velocity, proportional to the mass, which is not true in Newtonian. It's the second power. So you need the square root of n.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And I want to say that,
But you are basically adding up the forces of individual particles?
No, I don't. I only add it up by individual particle for this case. This is a particular case. But here, I cannot do that. So I do it numerically to solve.
You can do it when the shell is light, but not when it's heavy.
Yes, I solve this modified Gauss law, Gauss equation. Then I could get the force on the particle or on the shell. And the force is not linear at all. Okay. Here, we want to say if Birkhoff's law is not really true, then you would have to say the gravitational acceleration from distant source cannot be ignored. So if you want to analyze the data like galaxy scale, then you have to consider all the star along or clusters around it. Let's say the astrophysicist will say that star there will determine our galaxy to other direction.
But then doesn't that mean, so people have tried these philosophical ideas for Mach's principle, right? Mm-hmm. Somehow the distribution of matter far away determines the notion of inertia locally. But then you run into the problem that you would expect, highly anisotropic notions of inertia locally, right? Because the nearest, the stuff nearby is far from isotropic, stuff like that.
Yes, that's an isotropic point of view, but we want to see that even in isotropic case, it still has some effect into the local phenomena.
I guess I'm just saying that I would think this is highly constrained. I don't know what I'm saying. I guess I have an intuition that if you say somehow rotation curves of galaxy are influenced by the matter distribution in the rest of the universe in a significant way, then I would blame the, how come I don't see this in the lab when I
do
pendulum experiments and stuff like
that. That's because each theory was say in strong field, like this one, is strong field.
Okay, so you're going to say always when you go to high density or whatever, you know, the extra degrees are going to decouple or something.
Yeah, in a small region of that gravity region, you will always go to the Newtonian gravity. So,
okay.
So this effect is not important in small scale of large gravity. Okay, now we'll talk about this. So now that we have a lot of modified gravity theory to check if perhaps law in general true or not. The first one is modified gravity among, I already talked about that. And then the CGP, the high dimension gravity theory, I will talk about later, that's made by the VF 2000. And then FR theory is doing by depressed Rickett scalar by FR. In general, this theory tried to explain dark energy, but since this F is so free, they didn't show up the functional F at all. So now some people try to use different function, and they found, indeed you could find some functional F that can depress the dark matter. And they already have some result and published. But I'm not quite sure if that's really true, and if we could depress dark matter and dark energy at the same time. That we won't talk about that much. The fourth one is Tevas. Tevas is it's treated as relativity merging among. As Mang have a several problems. The first one, although Mang success in rotation curve, Mang have three problems. First one is non-covariant invariant theory. The second one, you cannot write down the Lagrange. The third one, you don't get any gravitational lensing effect. But once you have a relativity merging among, those three problems have been solved. So this is very important for Mang. Some people, before Tevas appear, some people don't think Mang is important. But now, since you have a theory here, they try to believe a little bit. And then the general Einstein is a theory that's developed by Zelotny in 2006. That is a relativity merging among two. And I will give you some example for this one. And then scalar tensor vector among NSPV. I'm not quite understand this theory, but this theory is very powerful. It's the only theory that could explain cluster right now. That's true. Okay. And there are a bunch of the new theory coming on. Maybe some people want to say some of the theory already we drew out, but I'm trying to study what happened if the Birkhoff's law theory didn't hold in this model. And I have to say something like, too, in Tevas and general Einstein ether, they try to explain dark matter. But indeed, there is dark matter inside these two theories. For example, Tevas include a vector field and a scalar field. In vector field and scalar field is a kind of matter too. So as you try to use this model, you already include some dark matter into the theory. Let's see. In general, this modified gravity try to replace dark matter or lambda dark energy. But if we really true lambda CDM model, there is no distinguishing between this modified gravity theory and the lambda CDM model. The first evidence I've seen that treated as evidence is from the Bully cluster. Bully cluster indeed is two clusters. The first one, you have a small cluster here and big cluster here. And they found some dark matter around here and around here. They say the best way to explain it is a small cluster just goes through a big cluster. And then since this dark matter halo never interaction with the other, this stuff is weaker. So they go through this baryon and then stay like this. They just pass to go ahead and like mass distribution like this. And if you see the mass counter, then you see this is the mass distribution from weaker lensing. And this is from strong lensing, strong gravitational lensing. Then you find the baryon center, these two, indeed is not the mass center. So you have a discrepancy for a gravitational center and baryon center. But here is a little different between these two pictures. In this picture, you never see any counter around this region, but you could see some counter in this region. I guess that's because strong gravity have a better resolution, so you could see really matter make up some counter around this region. Nowadays, there are several models that try to explain this discrepancy of gravity center and mass center. And I see the try to answer is the first one is scalar tensor vector. I guess the answer is still needs some a little dark matter, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The second one say that could answer this question is Tevez. But I'm not quite sure if that's true because as I read the paper, from this guy, though in 2006, they used the assumption that the phi, the potential of the Tevez, indeed is superposed. But you already know they are not superposed, so I'm not sure if you use this assumption into your calculation can give you a reliable result. So I made a question mark of this model. Anyway, from the fine Bully class here now, almost all the models need some type of dark matter to explain this phenomenon. And they most likely to use neutrino, which makes about 2 eV, then you could fix it, the problem. But since neutrino is also a dark matter, so you didn't fix this problem fully. Yes.
Tevez, Einstein's Tevez, has to reduce the model.
Yes.
We can reduce the field.
Yes.
The model doesn't fit the clusters, nor the Bully clusters.
Yes.
I've done it.
Yes.
That's true. And the neutrinos, 2 eV, is right on the edge of the data.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. So
I'm pretty sure it's going to be less than 2 eV, but we don't quite know that. Also, you can't use the neutrinos to fit the galaxies. So you have to explain why you don't use the neutrinos for the galaxies, whereas you use them for the clusters.
Yes.
The second column is the I don't want to take up too much of your time. So we now have a new train wreck, possibly train wreck, 8520.
Mm-hmm.
And 8520 shows exactly the opposite to what the Bully cluster is.
Okay.
It's published in Astrophys last August. And it does exactly the opposite to what the Bully cluster does. So if this is going to hold on, keep on, then I'm presently fitting my log to an equal 520.
Mm-hmm.
If it works, then this is not good for top level.
Yeah. I don't know the point. I will go back and check if that's true. Thanks very much. Anyway, now we are doing a checking that further modified gravity theory really can explain this kind of Bully cluster. Here we say this model, I mean Mount type of model, because in general, as has already said, that Mount indeed cannot explain fully cluster, and if and all these Python models that become Mount definitely cannot explain dark matter fully cluster at all. So my problem is here is as those people try to make their model become Mount, they indeed ignore a lot of parameters. Like for example, as they choose better field, they will say better field is equal to this one, resolution is this one. But here you see the ignore for space vector here. And if you put in this one as the same order as this one, you still get the same constraint. So if my problem here is if we could restore those terms and then get discrepancy between gravity center and the mass center, and the answer is possible. Because as we do the calculation, for this one, this is from the, this paper. And we got the form of the new first order solution is in this form. It's like Mount, but now it's already replaced by this part. This B here is the space term of the vector. This equation tells you if you had a mass around here, and then you have vector field around here, then this vector field will cause the gravity change in this region. So it's possible to have two center of gravity. I could make here, I made a figure to make it clear. First, if you only had a matter, then you could get the gravity like this. And then if somewhere around you have a vector field around this one, then this gravitational field plus this vector field will give you a new gravity like this. One center here and the other center here. And if we replace this one as the gravitational density center, then it's possible to get some kinds of explanation of fully cluster.
Well, it does exactly that immediately.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So yeah, I should read that carefully.
It's published. Does it?
Okay.
Fits the data. But the question is, does it fit label 520?
Mm-hmm.
She's showing the blue is sitting inside the plasma. It's not that matter did not go to the stars. So it's a serious problem. Mark is the theory that works. Yeah. Someone has to listen at some point. The problem with Travis Beckenstein is I've told Glenn repeatedly that it's not a stable theory. It's unstable because of the nature of the vector field.
Yes.
This is a separate issue, but we can talk about it later.
Yes, yes. We really want to do is check the Birkhoff's law. So even Travis might be ruled out for some reason, we still try to use it as a model that we could study the Birkhoff's law and see how serious that will go into something like Travis, the type theory. And then we just give you, it's possible to get a gravity center shifter from the mass center. I seem I have to go to my last result. That's come from DGP model. And as you know, DGP model is a 4-5-dimension model. And we have an assumption that standard model particles are constrained on 4D plane. And then we set a new scalar constant, that's R0. We say this one shall be roughly equal to H, so that it could explain dark energy. And then as our calculation find the derivative a metric is in extra dimension mimic the ordinary matters. As I first study this model, I always think
all this made up a story, right? We live in this ridge of a mountain, and then extra dimension here, and we are so dangerous because the slope is so terrible. But finally, I found, no, this is not a good picture. The good picture is this one. The mountain is so high that we cannot climb up the mountain, so we never leave this regime. And fortunately, they have water inside the body, so this is a good picture. Anyway, let's check the model first. The model is a five-dimension theory. I mean, all the model from this one. I think they already changed it up to go to higher dimension. But anyway, for this, I follow this paper. That is, you first have five-dimension Einstein-Hilbert action, and then this matter is constrained in four-dimension frame. And this two cause a four-dimension Einstein-Hilbert action. Here we want to accept that the geometry metric is like this form. Here, if you ignore this term, it shall go to four-dimension solution. And we want to calculate spherical symmetry model, so we could ignore all cross term like dt, dr term here. Here, m phi equal to 10 minus 3 TV is from the theory that want to explain dark energy, but we don't necessarily have to accept this value. Then you rescale the metric. You find n equal to 1 plus n, small n, and so on. That's because we want to solve the equation in almost a flat space. Then we get the first order equation like this. Then here you see this is Einstein's equation in G00 term that's related to the density. So you see A dot and B dot act like density. And this term is GRR term that's related to pressure. So you know B dot is 89 pressure. The same for this one, that's pressure too. So that's what I say. Some of the derivative of metric mimic the density and pressure. And as you solve this equation, you get the acceleration in this form here. This is from dark energy region. And this is Schwarzschild's radius. It's proportional to the mass term. And if you see this one, Rg is in the same behavior as Rg. So indeed, Rg mimics the mass due in the geometry. Here, this small g is this one. That's the derivative of the element, metric element. And since at first you have to not equal the Hubble constant, then we call this one is local Hubble constant. That's all you have to know. Then we try to accept an easy model that if you have a galaxy size mass around here, follows physical symmetry distribution, and a cluster here follow other physical symmetry distribution, the same for supercluster. And we accept that local Hubble constant is in this form. Here we try to accept Mi is proportional, Gi is proportional M half, then to half because we want to explain dark matter and dark in mong it go to M half. So we accept this your proportional M half, and then you restore all the units, you get this form. And we accept that as you across the shell, this Gr will change from here to one. As we do the calculation from first, you accept R0 is H inverse, that's for dark energy model. And we accept this value as galaxy cluster and supercluster that improve dark matter. Then you find the curve of acceleration is like this. This one dash and dot is from Newtonian gravity. And this one is from Onion cluster Onion. And the dash 9 is from the cluster and galaxy. The last one, dot 9, is supercast and cluster and galaxy. You found the gravity inside the spherical shell. Indeed, it's non-zero. So that tells you in Birkhoff and DGT, the Birkhoff slow is not halved. And the same, but the same for other model. But Newtonian gravity has zero acceleration inside. Although this causes a little problem, but if you consider the acceleration, you will find the jump of acceleration in this region still tell you the mass in this shell, on this shell. So you could rebuild the mass distribution in this model still. But if you accept, I could now tune R0 to a small number, then you will get some contribution from this one, because this limit mass term proportional R0 minus 1. If you choose R0 small enough, the effect will like a little dark matter inside. So you first one, you see the acceleration inside the spherical shell is non-zero, and later so on. At first situation, you still be able to replace the mass density around here, but this one, you see a little jump in this region, but you didn't see any jump here, the second shell, and so on here. So that tells you, once you go to this theory, you cannot restore the mass distribution in some region. That is why we have to study that so hard. Now I go to the conclusion one more time. The first conclusion is that gravitational acceleration can come from outside of spherical shell. That's what we are checking in this model. And then modified gravity theory are not fully ruled out by the Pauli cluster. Okay, by the other theory, okay. And I have to say that the three parameters in modified gravity theory may be as many as lambda CDM. This pointer can go back to the respect of this space vector field. One of the space of vector field is as a dark matter. So if you could get dark matter distribution, then you also get this one. So they have equally number of parameters. I think that's all.
So if you take the R0 parameter and make it so small,
yes,
does that change? Would that mean that would have implications for solar system tests, right?
It still depends on how small you choose, but for example here, in my model, this force is proportional to the size of R. So if the R is still small, then you don't have any obvious effect into your observation.
What I'm basing this on is that whenever Gia Wale talks about AGP,
mm-hmm,
and you had R0 to the horizon, which is a lot bigger than 8.54, they're close. You can get for lunar ranging, you can almost put a limit on it.
Yes.
And so if you take it by however many orders of magnitude down, I just wonder, have you looked at whether this means that lunar ranging could probe? It seems like it might already be ruled out by the lunar ranging.
I haven't tried that yet. I'll give you the answer later.
Sure, no, I was just curious if you already know that.
Apparently not. According to DGP, it's not ruled out.
Well, DGP whenever R is 0 is the horizon size. But if you make R 0 smaller, yeah, then that means that the effect is bigger. And so, yeah, so I was just curious. I don't have a good intuition for how much it scales, but it seems like, I mean, that's a factor of thousands.
Yeah, basically the change, so anomalous Hilbert precession of the moon's orbit goes as, yeah, 1 over that scale of some power. I forgot the power, but clearly I would think if you start thinking it to be 10 times smaller than Hubble radius. Because they're within one order of magnitude of the chair.
Okay, so it's fine. You can't do everything already, but
I didn't try that far.
One more problem. In your last statement, regarding free parameters.
Yes.
First of all, in this variation of tethers, but the vector, how many parameters would you have?
It's a functional, it's a local function, so it's like between any function by hand.
You have to put in the B1, B2, B3.
Yes, but B1, B2 is a function. It's a function in this one. Roughly this scale, the same as the...
So where does the B1, B2, B3 come
from?
How do you determine?
You cannot determine it.
You cannot? But there are field equations to determine B1, B2.
No, you don't have enough constraint to decide this one. It's really fully like the dark matter.
So you look at, so you're introducing additional parameters.
What's the total number of, how many parameters total are present in the tethys theory to match these data?
Three parameters.
Yes, but that's the three, fully free mass distribution function. So
so three free functions.
Yes.
That involves, of course, parameters.
Yeah.
If you can't compute the questions and integration parts, then the boundary conditions, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And you have a lot of arbitrary. So the last problem is that in my latest paper, we went to talk, we have now shown that the model does not have any adjustable parameters at all.
Yes, because they ignore that and then get the
You
mean you fit all of the parameters?
I mean, the field equations actually determine the parameters. It's quite remarkable. So,
but you have to fit the data.
If I fit the galaxies, give me the mass and the mass dilation, and we're fitting all the data without just reviewing.
I think, Johnny, you should talk about this next week. You should give a talk next week about it.
I have it actually talked in the can. I can use it.
Got it, great.
Anyway, sorry to take up so much.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, are there other questions?